Love you.
Good evening. I'm growing old. Now, I just found out that I have some problems with my eyes, and apparently I had those problems for the last 15 years, and I just didn't know. So, I get used to it. It's not easy. It feels like it's the sunglasses, and you always want to take it off when you, walk into a room and you realize that's when you stop seeing. But things are better. It's been 2 weeks now, and I'm trying to get used to it. But warm greetings from Israel, home away from home. And unlike all what's going on around us, it's very peaceful where I come from. In fact, probably the peaceful place for Christians in the entire Middle East is Israel. And I thank God every day that I was born there, that I grew up there, and I get that privilege of living there and having my children growing up there. And I cannot think of a safest place on planet Earth for my children to grow rather than where we live, right there at the, below Mount Carmel, right in front of the Jezreel Valley. Good place to watch the last scene of the Battle of Armageddon. Well, I came here originally to attend the Calvary Chapel Senior Pastors Conference in Murrieta Hot Springs. I had a privilege of sharing the same message with about 1,400 pastors a few days ago, and it felt like sitting or standing before the Sanhedrin. You can imagine, all of them pastors, and they all know the Bible very well. But that's why I avoided the Bible. No, just joking. But you all must agree with me that over the last few months, we all can feel that God is shaking this world. It's not even a feeling of the average Christian. It's the feeling of the average person around the world, and certainly in the land of Israel. We feel that God is moving and shaking. And, when you go back to the scriptures, you find out that God is indeed in the business of shaking the heavens and the earth. And it's beautiful because you see that in different cases, you see that God speaks of how things will be shaken. But you see that there are certain things that should be shaken and fall off and others that should remain standing. In Psalm 112, verse 6, you can see it says, sure, it says about the righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. And then it says, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. In some ways, no matter how much this world is going to be shaken, if you're a righteous person, you will never be shaken. However, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, you can see that the Bible says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. God is indeed in the business of shaking the heavens and the earth. But Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 27, goes all the way to talk about not only that God shook the heavens and the earth once, but indeed he's in the business of doing that once again. In verse 27 of chapter 12, you can see the following thing. It says here, well, I go all the way back to 26. Okay, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see, some things will have to fall down. Others cannot be shaken, and they will always remain. And this evening I wanted to speak of those things that will always remain, and those things that are going to be shaken and change over there in the Middle East. And that verse in Hebrews 12, verse 27, that verse should be sort of the line, the thread that we're going to walk through this evening. In regards to the Middle East and to Israel, what are those things that can and will be shaken? Now, I'm not saying that I'm for them or against them. I'm not saying that I support those or I protest against. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and I'm just telling you what to expect, because we must remember, whether we like it or not, certain things will take place, and God is not going to lose control. He is still sitting on the throne. So now we may see some negative reactions, some negative things rolling on and developing in that area. But remember, God not only was not hiding those things from us, but he declared those things that we will remember and know that he is in full control. And so first of all, in regards to Israel, what are those things that can and will be shaken? First of all, everybody knows Israel is a democracy. It is actually the only democracy in the Middle East. But I have some news for you. The political system inside of Israel, according to Bible prophecy, has to change. And we will talk about it in a second. Second thing, the size of our land. We just talked about the lines of 1967, but we'll even look at the borders we had before we established the state and what we had in 49, in 67, in 2000, 2005. You're going to see that things are not the same all the time. They change, whether you like it or not. God is in control. The regimes and leaders around us. Hello? In the last few months, you all have noticed that things are changing. And of course, some global developments, especially in the financial area, that are going to shake not only the Middle East, but the entire world. So there are several things that, as God is shaking this world, they are going to fall or change or certainly not stay the same. Let's talk about the political system inside of Israel. First of all, I hate to say that, and it might sound very, very controversial, but the state of Israel is not in the Bible. Now, don't misunderstand me. The word state of Israel is not in the scriptures. We've got the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, the children of Israel, anything you want. But the form of an independent democratic state is not there in the scriptures. It is only since 1948. Never in the history of the people of Israel have they had anything that even looks like a democracy. We had monarchy. We had judges ruling. We were ruled by many, many different nations. In fact, if you really think about it, the Jewish people exist over 3,500 years. However, the state of Israel, less than 65 years. The existence of the children or the people or the nation of Israel is not dependent on the state of Israel, but the existence of the state of Israel is totally dependent on the existence of the people of Israel. In other words, as long as God preserves the people of Israel, there is a chance for the state to exist. You understand that? But make no mistake, we were there before the state, and we will be there even if they will come to try and destroy that state, Because it is not the state, it is the people that God preserves. Amen? So remember that. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because according to Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is not going to be voted in, is not going to wait for the ballots to be casted for the Israeli parliament and he will run into prime minister's office. The Antichrist will rise from where I believe is Western Europe. I believe he is going to conquer, come. I believe he is going to take over. I believe he is going to drive the people of Israel. In fact, they will flee to the desert, the Bible says. In other words, believe it or not, but that world leader is going to bring about the end of the independent state of Israel as it is today. Now, we will not see it. But it will happen. We're not to see that event unless you really, really feel like seeing it. But that's your problem. You know, so many people ask me if I know who the Antichrist is. I think it's an insult because why should I know who this guy is when I have no plan to be here at all? The Bible says that he will reveal his true face only when that he who is actually restrained will be removed. In other words, once the Holy Spirit is out, once we are out, then he is revealing his true face. So we are not to see the Antichrist. We are not to be under the Antichrist ruling. We will be up there and he is going to unleash all of those crazy things while the Holy Spirit's presence in the form of the church is gone. However, the people of Israel are still here. Those are non-believers. And they will go through a process of losing their independence. They will flee to the desert, either that or accept the sign of the beast. In other words, there will no longer be the state of Israel. So whether we want it or not, the Bible predicts the end of the state of Israel once we're gone. It must be very clearly indicated. You know, as much as I hate to say that, we will no longer be a democracy once he comes in. And once he is going to be defeated by Jesus, we will not be a democracy also because Jesus will reign and it will be a monarchy. All right? So the form of democratic state in the Middle East is a phase for a purpose. God knows better than anyone here that only a democratic state could be a way to absorb millions of Jews from all the four corners of the world. Only a democratic state could establish the people's army that defends the borders of Israel. And only a democratic state is able to enjoy the wealth that God is going to establish to give us from the sea and from the land and create that kind of enviness, that kind of greed in the eyes of the other countries around us. You see, if we would have had a dictator, I don't think anyone would really want to attack us because then Israel won't be rich. He will be rich. You understand that? That's exactly why the Arabs are protesting all around the Middle East right now. They finally understand that as much oil as they have and as much, you know, wealth that they have, they never enjoy it. We in Israel enjoy everything that we have. Therefore, what is the point of attacking us and wanting to take all of what we have if it's not a democratic state that somehow has all this wealth displayed before everyone? In other words, Israel will not last forever as a democratic state. That's one thing that is going to be shaken. Now, remember, the people will survive. The state might be lost, but the people will survive. Jeremiah said in chapter 31, as long as the sun is there in the day and the moon is there at night and there are stars, Israel is there as my people. The only time God will say there is no more Israel is when he will make everything new. New heavens, a new earth, and no more sun, no more moon, no more stars. Everything is totally new. And then, of course, It is those who believe that will have eternal life with him, and those who do not believe that will have eternal life somewhere else. I always say everybody will get eternal life. It's all a matter of location, location, location. Now, that is according to Jeremiah 31. According to Isaiah, even when Messiah comes back to defeat the Antichrist, he will first gather the Jews back from where they fled into in the desert and bring them back, and that's when he's going to rule. In other words, even when they will be persecuted by the Antichrist and run and spread to all different places, Jesus will not forget about them. Gather them back, because he is exactly what he was then, with that sign above him when he was crucified. He is the King of the Jews. Amen. And so, first thing we establish, no matter what happened with the state, it is not going to last forever, but the people will be preserved. However, what about the size of our land? Well, everybody heard lately about the lines of 1967. Bologna with mozzarella. Why is that? Because if you really think about it, that's exactly what we're talking about. Look at the maps over there on the two sides. You can clearly see that there are green areas highlighted over there in the heart of Israel. It's called the West Bank. Then you see the Golan Heights up on the northeast. And you see the Gaza Strip far in the low part of Israel, right there on the Mediterranean. Now, you have to understand something. Up until 1967, there were no borders. You cannot call it the borders of 1967. Border is between two countries. Border is between two entities, independent, sovereign entities that have some sort of an agreement between them. When you have nothing, then there is nothing. And it's funny because those lines that you see are nothing but the lines that were drawn as the ceasefire lines of the Israeli and the Arab armies, which were part of the agreement in 1949 at the end of the War of Independence. And it's interesting because in 1949, those armistice agreements specifically stated that such lines, you know why they were specifically saying that? Because the Arabs didn't want those lines then. They thought they deserve much more. So they made sure that there will be a passage in those agreements that these lines have no political or legal significance and do not prejudice future negotiations or boundaries. Suddenly, they all want the 1967 borders, they call it. Then they insisted that those will not be anything that will be talked about as future lines, because they had in their mind future wars in which they will gain more. And they didn't want to limit themselves. But now suddenly, it all flipped. Now suddenly, that's theirs. Well, let me show you something. Watch this. In 1947, look at the blue area offered for the Jewish state. You see that? Far on the left, 80% is desert. What was originally offered to us. Jerusalem, the mountains, Upper Galilee were not ours. It was all originally offered to the Arabs. The United Nothing offered a partition plan between the Israelis and the Arabs, and they basically said, after they, of course, had them for weeks in five-star hotels, gourmet food, all because of your tax money, but of course, they eventually offered a partition plan in which we should agree to live together. You get your part, they get their part. Believe it or not, we got 80% desert, yet we said yay. And then when they turned to the Arabs, what do you say? And they said, nay. Because for them, this is not enough. They thought we deserve everything. Well, time went by. 1948, we declared statehood. War of Independence started. Look at the blue area now at the end of War of Independence. They lost a lot of what was originally offered to them. And that is the line of 1967, everybody calls. The end of 1949, you see? In 1967, we took over the West Bank and the Golan Heights and Sinai, and within 6 days, we quadrupled our territories. 2005, not only that we already gave Sinai back to the Egyptians, and not only that we withdrew from the Gaza Strip, but now we have the West Bank and the Golan Heights as the areas that are still what we call disputed. Now, you have to understand something. These are not occupied territories because we did not occupy it from anyone that wants it back. We took the West Bank from Jordan and Gaza from Egypt. Jordan said in 1995, we want peace with you, but keep the West Bank. Egypt said in 1979, we want peace with you, but keep Gaza. In other words, those countries from which we took those territories didn't want it. So it is not occupied territories. It is what we call disputed territories. Certainly not something that we owe to anyone. As you can see, borders are fluctuating. Bigger, smaller, medium, extra large, large, small. And it will change more. We may end up being pressured by the American administration and the Europeans to give more. And we may end up giving more. But I want you to know something. Whether it's 1947 or 2012, God is in full control. So the size of the land eventually will be exactly what Pastor Jack was just saying. Jesus will come and restore the original territory that was originally promised. He will restore everything to its original settings. You know how it is in the computer where you can restore everything to the original setting? Yeah, that's going to happen. And all this will be one big joke. But as you can see, things change in the Middle East. It never stays the same. Do not sanctify a certain map. It'll change in the next year. Remember, God is in full control. Regimes and leaders around us. Well, the Tunisian president is done. The Egyptian president is now standing for trial. The Syrian one is about to be done. The Yemenite one already fled also, suffering 40% burns all over his body because of mortar attack over on his palace. We've got several more areas around the Middle East. But you have to understand something. As much as you look at these people and they look to you very, very well-fed and very wealthy and maybe corrupt. My grandma used to say, it's better the devil that you know than the devil that you don't know. In other words, these, at least we know. What's coming instead of them is the one thing we don't know. And unfortunately, in Egypt, we can feel it right now. They call it Facebook. That young Jewish computer geek never, ever thought that one day 1 million Muslims will pray in the Tahrir Square with their facing the ground and crying Allahu Akbar because of him. Of course it's not Facebook. Facebook was the mean of communication. It could have been anything else. It is 2010 or 2011, and Facebook today is the popular mean of communication. However, they were very smart. They let the Facebook generation prepare the ground. And once the world is, you know, how can you resist Facebook? I had to block it to all of my staff in my office because they could not even resist it. So the world is so forgiving to the Facebook generation. But once the dust is falling, you realize that it is not computer geeks in that Tahrir Square. It is 1.5 million Muslims bowing down to Allah. And for the first time in the history of Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood is now a legal party that can run to their parliament as of yesterday. And I want you to know something. That same Friday, when Mubarak was toppled, the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood was brought back, and the first speech he gave was about the annihilation of Israel. From right there. So I don't buy this Facebook revolution. It was all just dust at your eyes, so you won't understand who really is about to take over that area. That is what's going on over there in Egypt, and that's what's going on in other countries around, and you are going to see how the Middle East is shaping and getting ready for something bigger. What about the financial systems in and around us? How many of you feel that the dollar is losing ground? Hello? Dollar used to worth in Israel 3 years ago almost 5 shekels. Now it's 3.3. So much so that the Israelis don't want to trade in dollars. In fact, if the dollar disappears tomorrow, Israel won't even feel it. Because we were now so traumatized by the very fast devaluation of the dollar that we switched everything to the shekel. Not only us, so many countries around the world. That is exactly what those who weakened the dollar wanted. They wanted to create a situation in which people will have no problem replacing it and keep going on. The only ones that are going to suffer, the country that is using the dollar, of course. You have to understand, it is an intentional effort to devaluate the dollar so you will no longer use it. You know, 2009 was the year they came out of the closet. All of those who wanted to change, you know, the G20 moved the world step closer to global currency then. Now it's already out in the open. The United Nations proposes new global currency, and they don't even hide it anymore. They don't have anything to say about it. It is now a fact. No more Federal Reserve Bank. From now on, say, Global Reserve Bank. If that's not enough, they are now using the term, the world should never rely anymore on a currency issued by a single country. They want to make sure that everybody understands America is no longer the world superpower. It is someone else taking over. And if that's not enough, Medvedev shows off future world money over there in the G8 summit of 2009. They're already playing, they're already entertaining themselves with it. It's already becoming reality. Before you know it, somebody is going to tell you your dollar worth nothing. So, the political system in Israel is going to change. The size of the land is going to fluctuate. The regimes around us are going to change, and the world is going to transition period into brand new financial system. All right. Well, so it be. But what are the things that will always stand? First of all, Satan's plan for Israel. Make no mistake, he cannot stand us. Make no mistake, he is the opposite of God. He wants to be like the Most High. He wants to pretend he is an angel of light. But he wants to destroy us and to kill us. And to annihilate us. Why? Because we are the proof that God exists. Because we are the insurance policy to the whole world that God is faithful to all of his promises. And Psalm 83 put it the best. The Bible says that, behold, your enemies make a tumult. They come together for one thing. They say, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more. That's why they come up with names like Palestine and like other names, because the name of Israel is the problem. If we would have been calling ourselves any other name, none of these problems would be coming upon us. But Israel, God dwells. God is with us, is a statement, not just a name. And so Satan's plan for Israel, we're going to see it in a second. God's plan for Israel. How many of you ladies love that verse? How many times you wrote it on a nice pink little card? It's I don't know why it's a wonderful verse, but ladies like it more than men. Am I right? It's sort of like the theme of so many women's conferences and stuff like that. But I can tell you, whether it's ladies or men, this verse, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Remember? "Not to destroy, but to prosper, to give you hope and future." That verse was originally given to the people of Israel. So God's plan is not to destroy us, but it's actually to prosper us. It is not to kill us, but it's actually to give us future and hope. And this is not just God's plan. It is the unspeakable love of God for Israel displayed in Jeremiah 31. "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Regarding Satan's plan for Israel, the Bible says in Psalm 120, "My soul had long dwelled with him that hated peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." I want to take you right now, all of you, to southern Israel, to a secret Israeli training facility for the armored corps. The month is December 2010. 3 weeks earlier, we suffered a great tragic incident where a very sophisticated missile hit an Israeli tank, penetrated, and hit the crew. We were quite shocked. So what we did, we immediately summoned the best brains. We've been working on a system for years, but it's about time to test it and to test it live. We brought the best tank we have, the Merkava number 4, the Chariot, we call it. We put on that tank that system. The lieutenant colonel, young lieutenant colonel, the commander of the 9th Battalion of the 401 Armored Brigade, volunteered to hop into that tank with his entire crew. He sat right inside. And when the moment came, he said, "Go ahead." And we fired at this tank several missiles. All of them were destroyed. Because we put on that tank, you see up on the top on the left, we put a system called the Trophy. It detects a missile launched at the tank and destroys it right before it hits. It is unprecedented test. Nowhere else on planet Earth a system like that exists. We managed not only to test it, but it was a successful test. And immediately we put it on all the new tanks we have, and we replaced those that were at the Gaza Strip with the new ones with that system. And since then, we suffered no more hits and casualties on any of our tanks. Now, what really bothered us that day is, how in the world did the Hamas in the Gaza Strip get his hand on this Russian anti-tank missile called Cornet, the 9M133 Cornet, introduced to the world in the early 1990s. It is the most devastating missile, anti-tank missile, that was introduced to the world by the Russians. And I want to tell you something. You do not want your enemy to have this. Now, we knew that Russia has them. We knew that Russia sold it to several countries, including Iran. We just didn't have a clue that Iran already had it delivered to some other friends. Now, people are always telling me, "Why are you so obsessed with Iran? Iran never really attacked Israel." Well, I want to show you something interesting. Yes, you're right. Iran is up there on the northeast, and Israel is down there on the southwest. And Iran is maybe not attacking us. But pay attention to what Iran is doing. Look at the screens very carefully. Iran takes weapons and smuggles them all the way to Syria. From Syria, Iran smuggles all those things to southern Lebanon to the hands of the Hezbollah that fires all of those missiles at Israel from the north. Then Iran takes all those missiles that Iran wants, smuggles it all the way to Sudan in the south. Sudan smuggles it all the way to Egypt, to actually the peninsula of Sinai. They smuggle it all the way under the ground to the Gaza Strip, and the Hamas is firing it at Israel from the south. So you tell me that Iran is not attacking Israel. Look at this. They not only attack us from the north, but they also attack us from the south. And they keep their hands clean, because look how many hands it changes. And pay attention, in both cases, the agent that is actually attacking us directly, it's not a sovereign state, but it is a terrorist organization that has even a Quran verse written on its flag. Pay attention. And when you read Psalm 83, you read the names of all these countries around. And you tell me that Bible prophecy is not being fulfilled in front of our very eyes. And if that's not enough, you know, as I said, Satan wants to destroy us. We have our ways to deal with it. Regarding Sudan, remember? The Daily Telegraph, 2 months ago, reported, mystery of Israel and an attack in Sudan. I'm trying a British accent here. A mysterious airstrike on a convoy of armed smugglers in Sudan has provoked speculation that Israel has launched an attack hundreds of miles from its borders. What can I say? Speculations. Why do you think we should send F-16s and F-15s to Iran when we can just send an email? Israel worked, actually, according to foreign press. Israel worked for several years on developing the most sophisticated computer worm in the history. And we had our ways to make sure that an Iranian nuclear scientist will take that worm, put it right there, and for several weeks, we call it Stuxnet, by the way, that computer worm did something very interesting. By the way, it's still doing, just so you know. No, because they understand. It's spread. It's over 100,000 computers that are affected right now. And it's still going. But I want you to understand what it really did then. Stuxnet was giving, at the control panel of the nuclear plant, was giving everybody the wrong information, that as if everything is fine. But in reality, it gave different commands to the engine of the centrifuges to work five times faster. As a result, 1/5 of all the centrifuges went out of order and had to be taken out, and the nuclear plant of Iran was shut down. Now, if that's not enough, we thought that Stuxnet drove too much attention. It really, we don't want everybody to look at that, so we sent another email. April 25, 2011, which is less than 2 months ago, Iran says it discovered second cyber attack. Official says new virus, STARS, is being investigated. Virus target isn't revealed. Official warns that Stuxnet still poses a risk and urges legal action in cyber wars. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And if that's not enough, the French newspaper, Le Figaro, reported that Israel planned an explosion at Iranian missile site. I want you to know that when you create a nuclear bomb, it's nice. It may be that big or that big, but Israel is thousands of miles away. So you have to take that baby and get it over there somehow. For that, long-range missiles were invented. Out of the blue, October 25th, 2010, in the most secret Iranian base for long-range missiles, a huge explosion took place, and most of the long-range missiles were destroyed at once. What can you say in French? A And if you're still an Iranian agent or an Iranian nuclear scientist and you're still working on doing something and inventing something that will actually somehow destroy and kill all of the Jews around the world, you may know that even driving your car in the heart of your own city might be a dangerous thing. So I'm just trying to tell you that God is in full control. And the enemy can plot and try and do whatever they want, but God has a way to deal with them. Amen. And to God be the glory that we're still there because it's His plan. And ladies, remember the verse of Jeremiah 29? The promise is, for I know the plans for you, plans not to destroy you, but to prosper. I love that verse. Prosper. It's beautiful. You know, Isaiah in chapter 60 said about the sea, it says, then you shall see in verse 5 and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Wow, I love it. I'm not really talking about you guys. But God has an amazing way how He is going to prosper Israel. And it has to do with the abundance of the sea. Take a look at this. We find gas. Take a look at this. We found recently two gigantic natural gas reservoirs off the coast of Israel. The first one is called Tamar. And it's 6.3 trillion cubic feet of natural gas within drilling ongoing. That's a lot. But if we thought 6.3 trillion is a lot, came a few months later and we found the largest natural gas reserve, and it is 16 trillion cubic feet of natural gas discovered off Haifa shore in a joint U.S.-Israeli drilling operation. Isn't that amazing? Now, please pay attention to this. Not only have we found gas, but we also found oil. The oil can be under the natural gas or even inland, as we heard last June, the significant quantities of oil discovered in the center of Israel. Now, you would think that the Arabs want to destroy Israel because Israel took the land of the Palestinians. That's what they're trying to tell everyone. Well, pay attention to what really caused them to be very angry with us. And what really woke the Russian bear out of his winter sleep. Take a look at what the New York Times reported exactly a year ago. Russia, Turkey, and Iran meet. And the New York Times says they are posing a test for the U.S. Well, I don't really think they were talking about the U.S. Because in their meeting of the same day, they say, Israel won't get our gas. They did not talk about the Palestinians or Jerusalem, the refugees or 1967 borders or human rights. That's not really what brought Russia, Iran, and Turkey together. What brought them together is that we are enjoying that prosperity from the sea given to us by God. And they cannot take it. And isn't that funny? Israel won't get our gas. We just found gas. But you understand, it is the first time in the history, the first time in the history that Turkey, Iran, and Russia are coming together. And why? They don't come together because of the Palestinians. It is because of the natural gas. And you know what? There is not even a single place in the history, books, newspapers, magazines, or TV commercial, or TV news, that we could ever portray that scenario better than what Ezekiel chapter 38 did already. So do not tell me that Bible prophecy is not being fulfilled in front of our very eyes today. And what about God's love for Israel? Amos said in chapter 9, I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the vine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, says the Lord thy God. Amen. A promise is a promise. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. Believe me, I'm not afraid. I'm more afraid when I'm driving to LAX here. And I want you to know, please open Psalm 102. Because I believe that all that is going on today, right now, the attacks on Israel from all sides, trying to infiltrate from the borders, the flotillas, they're trying to fly into Israel, they're trying to attack and plot and destroy. God is saying enough is enough. And I can see that because in Psalm 102 it says in verse 13, you, God, will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, that set time has come. For your servants, you guys, all of you, you are the servants of God, aren't you? For your servants take pleasure in her stones. See, you don't take pleasure. You better not take pleasure in the destruction of Israel, but in the building of Israel. Because who is the one who is building Zion? It is not the Jews. It is not the Israelis. It is not construction companies. They're just the tools in the hands of who? The Bible says, it says here, so the nation shall fear the name of the Lord, and that the king of the earth your glory, for the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory and shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. You see, you are the servants of the Lord. You should take pleasure in the stones of that place and in, even in the dust. And you are those that have to stand up and speak out and clearly in one voice that enough is enough. You see, you had it too long, too easy, and too comfortable when you could rely on your leadership to do that work for you. And as Christians, you could tell everyone that you're a Christian nation and you have your president and you have your cabinet and you have your administration leading you in the right way. So you as a nation is very secure. No longer can America be called a Christian nation. A nation is very much so described by its leadership. And I want you to understand, America today is a country that has Christians living in it. But you are losing the identity of a Christian nation every day. It is eroding, it is falling apart. And you must understand that you've had it too long, too comfortable, and now it's the time to arise, and now it's the time to speak out with one clear voice. And I am here on behalf of Israel because I believe that this is the way God is testing the entire world. I believe that Israel is like a litmus paper, like a test. I believe that if you hate Israel, you can really not say that you love God. But I believe that if you speak out for Israel, you are exactly expressing the heart of God, that it is the time to favor Zion, because this is the set time for the servants of the Lord to take pleasure in her stones and not to sit quietly and look at what's going on around, especially not by your own administration. And make no mistake, God can see every single Christian in this country. You're not hidden from his eyes. But God is actually asking himself, until when are they going to think that they should sit quietly? Sometimes enough is enough, and you should arise and speak out. Sometimes relying on leadership is not enough, because if it's going the wrong direction, you, by saying nothing, cannot say you did anything. I believe that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so good intentions are not enough. And so I'm telling you tonight that when we look at what's going on around the world, God is really looking into two things. One, into the hearts of the lost to understand that he is about to shake once again the heavens and the earth. And the only things that are going to stay standing are and remain are the things of him. And the things that can and will be shaken will surely soon be shaken. I believe that if you are here and you do not know God, you understand now that God is in action. You may sleep, but he is neither slumbers nor sleep. He is watching over Israel. And one of the names of God is He that watches Israel. In Hebrew, Shomer Israel. Beautiful verse. Beautiful name. Watching all of this, folks, you can only say this. Knowing this time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
We'll take maybe a few moments and we'll have Q&A. Want to ask some questions?